Yo, welcome to another episode of On the Serious 33 and the Third podcast. It's your man, DeLeo, a.k.a. Filthy Me Nasty, a.k.a. Danny Domino, a.k.a. your mama's next door neighbor's illegitimate second cousin on your adopted nephew's side.
How many times?
Twice removed.
It's your boy, Drew Nitty, a.k.a. International Drew, a.k.a. that Black Star Kid, a.k.a. that Ghanaian Gangster, a.k.a. this chick got me paying a rent.
No. God damn it. Stop, yo, real quick. Real quick, shout out my girl Alexis, because we just had this conversation before we recorded. Drew, mm-hmm. I was gonna say my what up is T's, and then AKA this bitch. That was what I was about to do. And then and you jumped in. We had the same train of thought. And my girl Alexis is my witness, because we talked about this before we started recording.
Okay, I'm about bad, dude. Well, I did the clean version. You can do the dirty version.
I, you know. And finally,
I think okay, AKA anybody can get it, AKA fuck Laura Winslow.
We gotta talk about that too.
Wait a minute,
we gotta talk about that. In fact, that might have to go. What did she do, dog?
What did Kelly Shanae Williams? Nah,
Dave, how do you say her middle name?
Is it Shanae? I believe it's Shanae.
It's Shanae.
Is it Shanye?
It's like Shanye. Yeah, like, yo, I was just watching a rerun the other day, and I was like, I still don't know how to pronounce that shit.
Yo, how do you get Shanine from Shanye?
That's what I was wondering.
Man, all these years, I've been pronouncing it Shanine.
It's only one Shanine.
Stranjay. Okay.
Okay. So now I need to know what the hell happened. Why is still fuck Laura Winslow?
Why is it fuck Laura Winslow?
Why is it fuck that selfish bitch? Like, what is wrong with y'all? Have did y'all ever seen this show? Did y'all? Nobody saw this show.
We saw the show, but I mean, what made you just turn?
We got to get Cherry on the show to address this, man. Because
this is in no way in reference to. The actress who portrayed this selfish ass character.
This is literally about the character.
So. It's the character, y'all. This Urkel nigga was trying to that was his dream girl. He spent all his days trying to get at her, and she shut this nigga down at every turn.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then, because he's an inventor, he invents the machine to make him cool, and now she like this nigga? You ain't like me for who I was? Like, nah, bitch, nah. Uh-uh.
Wait, time out.
You know what, though? On the real, Steve actually won, because he had, was it Myra?
He had Myra.
Yeah.
And she fucked that relationship up because she wanted Stefan. Like, man, get your goofy ass out of here, Laura Winslow. Fuck you.
Yeah, facts.
Yo, I never knew you had all this hostility towards Laura Winslow.
I don't like people who don't phony kick me, bro. Like, you ain't want that man when he was nerdy as fuck. But the minute he made a machine, you know the work he had to do to make a machine to change his whole molecular structure, and now you want this nigga?
Back then, they didn't want me. Now I'm Stefan. They all want me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, nope. Mm-mm. Yeah. Selfish bitch.
Jesus.
But wait, let's go back now, bro, because if you watch the full ending of the show, she actually fell in love with him at the end.
Don't do that shit at the end. Mm-mm.
Right. Mm-mm. But this was after all of the
After all that shit, like, nah, bro. And she didn't love him. She loved the idea of Stefan. And she accepted him now because she knew what he could be. Nah, man, let's not break that down. Because if you love that nigga, if you was really fucking with Steve, you would have been fucking with Steve back then before he had to do all that shit.
Yeah, this sounds
time
like
it takes to make build a fucking molecular machine. Like, nah, nigga. Mm-mm.
Man.
Damn.
Yo, this feels out of left field as fuck to me. No, am I alone in that?
What?
his disdain.
I've never known, bro.
I've never heard this. I've never heard it.
It never came up.
Yeah, I guess not.
I mean, I feel like he just watched, like he just watched the Family Matters again, and just like it brought up some old feelings.
Well, Dave sent the picture.
Yeah,
and that's okay. Yeah, that brought the old feelings. Gotcha.
Yeah, but
wow. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
No, I got you. I feel what you're saying, bro.
I absolutely can relate because, you know, I've definitely had my share of Laura Winslow's in my, you know, kid and teen years growing up. So,
and then you dipped the wedgie, and now she wanted you.
Exactly. Exactly. After the wedgie you got dipped.
But you know. Yo, like, that's a, like,
brother on Chicago Fire, thing, now he hot.
I hate to say it's a common thing, but that's just like one of the human nature things through life. Like, that's the vapors.
Okay. And trust me, it goes both ways. I remember in high school, there was a, you know, young lady who had a crush on me and was, you know, trying to pursue me, and I definitely was not my type. Gave it a Heisman, and then like right after we graduated, she, you know, did a you know, Stefan transformation, you know, and I was like, and you know, at that point it was like, okay, that ship had sailed, but it was the same thing. It was like, okay, you wasn't checking for me when I was brace face and, you know, several pounds heavier, but now, you know what I'm saying, you know, showing interest. So yeah, it goes both ways. Mm. So I get it. Fuck Laura. But we do love you, Kelly. No shade to Kelly.
Right.
Okay. If somebody could tell me her real pronunciation, I appreciate that too. So I thought it was just one of them fancy Hollywood.
There's like a G and a Y in there, like in Yeah, no, I don't understand how you got to this.
We're gonna have to get Cherry on the show and ask her.
Oh yeah.
So speaking of speaking of sitcoms, you know, Will Smith has been on this big promo tour for his memoir. Will was just dropped, which I definitely got a cop, by the way.
You didn't go to the book tour?
No, I didn't go to the book tour, surprisingly, because I'm a big Will Smith fan, and I totally would have bought tickets.
I would have thought that was, they would have had to clear it with you for it to happen.
No, I heard it was really great. Obviously, I saw a lot of like video footage and stuff, and
concert.
He was doing his thing, man. He made an appearance at the big tennis facility over on like 55th and State or whatever, for the King Richard movie with two of the actresses that portray Venus and Serena in the movie. And then after that, he went to the concert tour. But, you know, a lot of details and things that we didn't know about Will are obviously coming out of the excerpts from the memoir that he put out. And one thing he mentioned was the iconic episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when Will got shot. You know, and Carlton started carrying a gun. And he was talking about he was talking about how he believes that the show jumped the shark during that season 5 episode, because he was saying that the storylines were becoming like really hokey, and it was difficult to maintain like the freshness of the show. And so he was saying, yeah, like, and plus at that time Will was like really coming into his own as a big movie star.
Yeah.
So he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to get caught up in a like cycle of, you know, the show kind of going downhill without having like the next thing up, you know what I'm saying? So I guess that was kind of a thing to inject some newness into the show at the time. But yeah, I remember that episode, man. That was definitely
a good episode.
It was.
Like, I wouldn't call it iconic. I don't know if I know which episode I would say it jumped the shark, or even if it jumped the shark to me.
I didn't feel that way.
But
either.
It definitely wasn't that one.
Yeah, I didn't feel that way either.
I think it was the one where him and Lisa called off the wedding. Once they called off that wedding,
yeah,
then they just got it got like hokey, like you said before. It's just that's when I felt like it jumped the shark. After that, when it was like, all right, I'm over it.
Yeah, yeah, I could kind of agree with that. I mean, because I feel like five seasons in anyway. You're going to get to that point where the show is just like, okay, you know, like we've kind of done everything we can do. Like, you know, you look at an amazing, like This Is Us. I think they're about to call it after this season, which is their fifth. And so,
how many seasons did The Office have?
I'm sure a lot.
I feel like it was like 8 or 9. I don't feel like they got to that point until like maybe season 8 or so.
Yeah.
Like they had a super good run past 5 years for sure that it was still really good and fresh. It's rare, but
it was 9 episodes.
But let me ask you this.
Nine seasons.
But let me ask you this, with The Office, was it I feel like that's one of those shows that isn't necessarily contingent on prior episodes or prior storylines. I feel like almost every episode can kind of stand on its own. Obviously every character has their quirks and everything, but, and I'm just saying this not being a regular
storylines.
So
throughout the seasons, like, you know, Jim and Pam's courtship and how they went from the office buddies to marriage and the back and forth, like that was, you know.
Oh, okay. So
that's just one continuous story. So it definitely had storylines, even though I just think where it's different as they're able to like the show doesn't depend centrally on one character, so they can develop people's storylines. They have more to work with than a conventional sitcom, which has 3 or 4 stars.
Gotcha.
Or 3 or 4, you know, regulars, whereas The Office has, you know, it's like a dozen regulars or something, so it's more to work with and they can come up with more shit for more each, you know, for each character.
Yeah, I got you.
I feel like Friends jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see that one.
Yeah. I think it happened when Rachel and Joey started their little situation. Like, now he's doing
too much. Didn't she have a baby? Wasn't the baby his?
No, it was Ross's baby.
It was Ross's. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, when Rachel and Joey started fucking dating, I would definitely say that was when Friends jumped to shark.
I think in most shows, whenever they have two of the characters finally start linking up, that's where things start kind of going downhill. I mean, you can name a dozen probably examples. You know, when Max and Kyle started dating on Living Single, I felt the show started going in a, you know, different direction.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. I like them.
I think Living Single went bad.
I don't think Living Single went bad until Kyle left. And
Mel was the kiss of death. That was it.
And definitely when Pam and Tommy hooked up and Martin, I didn't think that was nowhere near. So I don't know, Dave. Give me another example of when some other people hooked up. And
I feel like all Ron and Freddie.
Wow.
I
think that was more the wedding. When Dwayne and Whitley got married, that's when it jumped the shark.
Y'all think Different Worlds? I don't know if I would say
Different Worlds jumped the shark either. Yeah,
I don't know. I just have always felt that like those ongoing, like I don't mind them, you know, those people who are usually at each other's throats, you know, going back and forth, like, you know, Tommy and I guess Tommy and Pam isn't a good example, but you know what I'm saying? Like Kyle and Max. Yeah. And I don't mind them necessarily hooking up because it definitely throws a different conflict into the story. But I think when it continues as an ongoing relationship, and I know their relationship didn't last that long, but I just feel like after that, it just started to take a different direction, and that I didn't necessarily, you know, I felt that's when things started to kind of go, down.
You don't agree with the Mel Jackson theory. I only feel that way about Living Single. I don't feel that way about other projects that he's been a part of and attributed to. But...
Dude, every time he's on a show,
see, I don't
cancel or the end.
I always feel that way about A Living Single. But as Drew has stated, there's a contingent among the culture that has pinpointed a handful of times when Mel shows up, and it's usually at the very end of whatever. I only feel that way about A Living Single. Mel, but that's the Grim Reaper.
Listen, he's the Grim Reaper.
Shout out to Mel. Obviously I'm close to the situation there. So, great guy, great actor.
When Mel gets on the set, play the Undertaker's music.
Jesus, true. Like I said, just Living Single. But other than that, I don't feel that way at all.
Well, obviously, like, you got situations like the, like, you know, the new Harriet that came in on Family Matters and the new Viv, you know.
Yeah, that don't count.
But that's
the new Harriet.
I don't have any episode that didn't have the original Harriet in it.
Yeah, definitely replacing a character. Yeah. In Mel's case, he was a different character. He wasn't Kyle.
Right.
But he was replacing Kyle.
Yes, he was.
But I mean, as far as a main cast member, yes, but he wasn't. Yeah, but when you change the actor that plays a specific character, as you know, you just say like obviously the Harriet, a lot of people don't even really remember that because that's, she only did like the last, I don't know, half a season.
Yeah. Right.
So a lot of people don't even remember that, but obviously the most famous example is the Aunt Viv.
And that was that was Gina's mama, by the way, who.
Yes, Gina's mama from Martin. Played Harriet in like the last 7 episodes of Family Matters.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget we put it on Mel Jackson too, but don't forget your girl I Dallas was replacing Regine.
Kim really? Fields.
Yeah, oh shit! Really? I don't even remember it.
I don't remember that either. Wow, yeah. Drew.
If you'd asked me yesterday, did Kim Fields do all season? I would not have known that she left the show before it was over.
That's a new one on Marcus.
Yeah, watch the old episodes, like towards the end, she left because Regine got married or engaged or something, and then she dipped.
All right, I'm gonna have to do my IMDb nerd shit because I had no idea.
I'm gonna have to go look at them old episodes too, look them up on YouTube. But they, I was gonna say, they just recently.
Wait, ain't it streaming on like, is it on HBO Max?
HBO Max, that's correct. Yeah. Yes, that is correct. I was gonna bring up, they just recently did that on All American too. I don't know if y'all watched that, but the Layla's dad, they did the old switcheroo with him last season because the brother who plays on Godfather Harlem was originally her daddy. And then next thing I know, some new dude popped up and we was like, who the hell?
You know what, though?
I don't mind.
You know
that,
what, though, Dave? I don't think, I didn't mind that because he's not a major
character.
Yeah.
Character. Yeah. So it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, that's interesting. That's, he was in Breaking Bad, by the way.
That guy was?
Yeah. New.
Who did he play in Breaking Bad?
He was one of Gus's henchmen. He was the guy. He actually, if you remember when Gus, when Walt killed Gus, or when what's his name killed Gus?
Yeah.
He was in the room with Gus. He was the one that died with Gus.
Oh wow. Now I gotta go back and watch them sing. Oh wow. I did not realize that.
Yep. But yeah, I didn't mind the switch of Layla's dad. Just because he's not as big of a character. Big enough for it to matter.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get your girl on the show too.
Who's that?
Spencer's mom.
Karima. Yeah.
Yeah, Karima. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who else? Am I taking it back too far when they switched the Lionels on the Jeffersons?
Yeah, that's way too far, bro. Way too far.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think we cared about that either. Well, we was too
young. That shit was fucked up. No.
That was a whole thing though, I remember. Because didn't it have, like, what was the story behind that?
Why did Mike Evans leave the show? I think it might have been a creative.
Your afro wasn't up to par.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact reason. I think it might have been a creative difference thing. And he left, and, you know, and then that's when he left, and they brought in the new Lionel, which It's always, I mean, you know, obviously, you're never going to get anybody that looks exactly like them, but when they physically are vastly different, it throws everybody off for sure.
I got to do it soap opera style. The part of Adam will now be played
by right.
Unless you're upgrading, like you're upgrading beyond anyone being able to argue that you're not upgrading.
Hey, nobody saying that when they replaced the owner of Al's Diner on Happy Days when it was the fat Italian dude, and then it was Pat Morita.
Because Pat Morita was a funny comedian in his own right, and I guess he worked so well that, you know, no disrespect to the prior actor, but you almost didn't miss him after Pat Morita was there. You know what I'm saying?
I love that this conversation just came full circle to jump in the shark, because now we had Happy Days.
Yeah,
and that
which came okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, literally.
For those that don't know, the term "jumping the shark" comes from an episode of an infamous episode of Happy Days where Fonzie is jet skiing somewhere, and he literally jumps a fucking shark.
And that's when the show went downhill.
That's when the show goes downhill. So that's the term "jumping the shark." Now, any sitcom or show that has been, they say it jumped the shark. They're referencing that Happy Days episode. And that's pretty full circle as fuck on our part.
Yeah. Now, but hold up, let me ask you a question, because I remember back in the day, all the shows that used to pretty much last I remember when I was younger, it was almost like 10 seasons you'd get a show. Now it seems like you get like maybe 4 or 5 and then it's over with.
Yeah.
Depends on the show. Not right. Everything.
Not everything, but I'm just saying, like real popular shows like, you know.
Like Cosby.
The Cosby, yeah, exactly. 10 seasons. Something like that. It ran a long time, but now it's like you get like now popular shows still get like 4 seasons. Like we dealing with Insecure, it's like season 4 or 5, and it's over after this one.
Yeah, I think it's because of the amount of content that you have. It's just like, you know, there's just so much content out there that I feel like you almost don't need, you know, so many seasons. You know what I'm saying? It's just like with you know, same thing with music. You know, that's why we were just talking about how all you really need is like so many songs, because, you know, I guess back in the day there was like a lot of albums, it would just be like, you know, 7 or 8 songs, but you might get more projects that might come out because it was, you know, smaller amounts of the content, but you know, it would just be put out more frequently.
Shit, albums need to go back to the 8-9 song format, because these goddamn 27 track albums, ain't nobody listening to that shit.
Yeah,
who does it? Yeah. Who did that last?
Chris Brown. Chris Brown.
His shit was like 45 tracks or some shit, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't that a double album though?
Yeah, but I think
45 tracks. That's a goddamn quadruple.
Yeah, I feel like he did that a couple times.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, you just don't get to sit and ingest the music because it's so much. Like, eventually you're going to regurgitate the shit and not take it in and absorb it like you should be able to and make it really fucking stick with you. They need to go back to 8-9 songs.
Just like your man Silk Sonic.
Honorable mention on the switcheroos of the cast to Batman and Batwoman, where Catwoman was... you know, replaced on the original Batman series with Eartha Kitt. And then on
Upgrade
Batwoman.
Upgrade.
Right, exactly. Then on Batwoman, they replaced Ruby Rose playing her now, which I think I've only watched the first episode and it wasn't that great. But
yeah, I ain't never watched the show. I wasn't, you know, I ain't into that the Batwoman show. So yeah, sorry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But yeah, so
we was talking about albums. Let's get into it, y'all. This Silk Sonic album is ridiculous.
Oh my god, I'm loving it. I feel like it's one of the best albums of the year. I know TJ, that might be saying a lot, but that's how I feel, man. It's definitely one of the best albums of the year. Well worth the wait.
You know, BA was up there trashing it like these fools need to drop an album. There you go,
man.
I apologize for that last week, sir.
You like it's a straight listen, like, you know what I'm saying? And
And that was before the album came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, so B, what do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't know what the hell you was talking about.
All right, so listen, I definitely recognize that I am amongst, I could very well be in the only me minority, but, and okay, so my initial text to the group was, it sounded like one long song, and I even tweeted that. So I listened again today for the second time, and I do backtrack just a little bit. Now there are a couple of songs that stand out to me, and I do think it's good. I just also think it's very repetitive.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's not me trashing it. Like I said, I actually, I like it. And yeah, I found a couple songs that just stand out and I will definitely play more. But just overall, I still think the track, the project is very repetitive.
Interesting. Okay. You're entitled to your opinion.
Yeah.
It's wrong, but okay.
You're right. It's wrong.
Yeah. Right. It's wrong. As long as we all understand, it's just my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Man, this just in, breaking news. Apparently, Disney Plus just announced there's an MCU Daredevil show reportedly in the works right now.
Are we going to deal with the first, the actual?
With the actual.
Charlie,
with
his name?
Yep. With the original actor.
Let's go.
Yeah. So,
hey man, look, Disney dropped a lot of content this week.
Yeah, they did. They did. So,
yeah, us Marvel heads are going to be in, you know, we going to be happy for the next couple months, hopefully.
I know they were just trying to put something out there, but those teasers for She-Hulk and Moon Knight, I was kind of like, yeah, I know these, you know, they're not finished and they're not, you know, it's just something to throw out there, but I need more. It's, you know. And I know they're probably gonna be really great. I just, you know, I feel like, yeah, just wait till you got something really meaty to throw out there. You know what I'm saying? Don't tease us with this half finished crap.
Yeah, I got you, because the She-Hulk looked kind of like cut and paste.
Yeah, totally. I was just like, yeah. So, you know, we was kind of talking about something offline, man, and this has been something, you know, that has been, I don't know, something that's come up in conversation with friends and, you know, other like coworkers and everything, just when it comes to Black businesses, right?
Right.
We all have our stories, you know, especially now in a pandemic, you know, it's been tougher for everybody, business-wise. But there has always been this thing where, you know what I'm saying, it feels like when it comes to dealing with our people sometimes, that stuff just ain't what it's supposed to be all the time. And right. I get it. You know what I mean? It's hard. There's certain things that we have to deal with that other people don't have to deal with when it comes to being a bit, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? And there should be a certain level of professionalism. And sometimes we just be like, yo, what's going on? So man, let's talk about it, man. Like should we as minorities, as Black business people, be held to a higher standard? Should we get cut some slack? We not performing?
Definitely should get cut slack. We definitely should be held to a higher standard. We should be held to
the exact same standard,
yeah. Which is, you know, good standards as far as service and hospitality, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it like, you want to, obviously as Black people, we have a very unique struggle within this country.
Yeah.
A lot of shit we got to stick together on. Business is very important. That should be one of the things. So yes, you always want to support and be wanting to support Black business, but at the same time, you know, we're fucking humans. Everybody's like, we should have good service and the shit that you expect at any restaurant.
Yeah.
So when it's a Black business and they don't live up to that shit, it kind of sucks and it kind of hurts when you have to call that shit out. Yeah. But you also have to call that shit out so they can be accountable and do shit better.
It don't hurt me to air their ass out. Air their ass out.
But it definitely, I wince a little bit. It hurts a little bit more when I have to, if I speak out publicly about a black business in a negative light.
Sure. Well, I don't see it the same way.
Yeah. But we know. We already know.
I yelped them niggas in a heartbeat. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yo, I never yelp. I don't do
that. I don't mean like actual going yelp. I'm talking about
Dave, I'll give you a review. Ass is on Yelp. Dave, you on Yelp.
No, I'm on Yelp to see about places that I want to go to, but I have yet to actually comment on a business on Yelp.
Okay. Yeah, no, see, but, I'm using Yelp as a verb,
So nobody's actually on Yelp, though.
No, right. No, no, but I'm getting to that point, T. I'm getting to that point. There's been a couple times where it's been like, yo, I'm about to air these fools out online.
But I think we have to because we have to if we want these businesses to
survive,
but to maintain a certain level of professionalism.
Yeah,
we can't let it slide when they don't have that professionalism.
Yeah,
right.
We can't be like, it's because it's a black business. No, I'm going to air your ass out just like I would air out the fucking Jewish cleaners or the Asian fucking nail shop. I'm going to air you get it too.
Yeah.
Being black is not an excuse or not a reason enough for you to have to get a pass.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. All I'm just saying is when it's a black business, it just hurts a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
To have to.
It does.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Don't hurt me.
but you know, have you remember where, like, back in the day, let's say with clothing designers and stuff like that, if you know somebody who designed t-shirts or sweatsuits, whatever, and then you know you go to the store, man, can we get a, you know, how black, some black folk are, you know, can we get a discount? Can we do it? And then they'd be the first one to say, you know, well, look, y'all don't ask such and such for a discount, this, that, and the other. Don't do that to us.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
We gotta call them out the same way.
Yeah.
So
I get it. And I'd be the first to go and support a black business first, you know, above anybody else in my, you know, community or whatever. But it's like my frustrations come in when I go and there is, you know, they might have hired folks who just don't have no type of customer service skills whatsoever, you know, but might be a young person on the phone, you know, taking forever to get your order. Then they don't get the order right. And there's been times when it's just been no absolute care or consideration, and you're in the business of service and you have to, you know, the customer is always right. The customer comes first.
I ain't gonna never say that.
Hey, you talking to a motherfucker who work customer service. The customer is not always right. The customer is 99% of the time wrong.
Whoever
said that bullshit is a fucking idiot. Like,
well, you know what I mean. It's like the customer is supposed to come first. You know what I'm saying? Because you're a business of servicing. You know, that customer, that's what we're there for. That's what we're, you're providing a service for people. You know what I'm saying? Now, yeah, no, there's definitely times, and I know, Bia, you probably get it more than anybody because you deal with a lot of idiots. But, you know, maybe that was the wrong term to use, but I think I was trying to put more emphasis on the fact
I get what you're trying to say, but the phrase "the customer's always right" is a fucking trigger for me.
hey, bro, I'm with you. I'm 100%.
I know you know, Drew. You know. Those are trigger words right there.
Right.
Yeah.
I just twitched when you said it.
Yeah, my bad. Because I've worked in the service industry too, and yeah, they will tell you that the sun is purple and that the moon is red or the moon is green. And yeah, so I get it now. But I say that to say it's frustrating when you deal with certain things that seem to be a consistent letdown when it comes to our business sometimes. And then it's just like, man, you get deterred. And obviously, again, I'm not singling out, you know, us, because there's plenty of, you know, white businesses and other businesses that I go to where the service is bad. But I feel like, you know, I do hold us to a certain higher standard because, you know, as independent entrepreneurs, I want us to win. I want us to be, you know, superstar, five-star status when I'm going to, you know, pay my money. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm not going to set the bar higher.
Well, I'm not. I'm not saying that you need to be better than you know this you know white establishment over here. But at the same time, I don't want to keep putting the focus on, okay, I went to this, you know, this black business and this service wasn't up to par. You know what I'm saying? So immediately my go-to might be like, oh, well, I don't get this if I go to this chain or whatever. If I go here or that, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I can talk about something. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm going to pick you off. When we do these reviews,
yeah,
we don't have to point out that this is a black business if we're talking, if we're going to give them a negative review.
True.
You know what I mean? We don't have to, we can say the name of the company. You don't have to use the phrase black business.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that right there would be, that's fine.
Yeah.
But to identify it as a black business and then give the negative review, that's when it becomes, you know, I don't think we do that when it's any other nationality or anyone else owns it. We don't identify that as a white owned business.
But I don't mean to cut you off. We don't publicly, but we do in conversation all the time. All the time we do it. Cause what's the first thing we say? Oh man, you know, that's some, you know, such and such business. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, here we go. This is this type of business. You know what I mean? We do it unconsciously when we're in private, but we may not go on Yelp and say, you know, black business need to do better. You know, some people that do that too, but we definitely do it in private. You know what I mean? So it's,
well, when we do public reviews, we don't have to say black business.
True. Okay. So let's get into it. Let's talk about this business.
Yeah.
I think it was TJ who went to a business.
Right.
That was not up to par.
I mean, right. You're right. He went to a business.
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right. So listen, I'll just preface if the owners of Kitchen and Cocktails happen to catch this podcast, I'll just preface this by saying, hey, I was rooting for you.
We were all
Anyway, I can see Tyra.
Oh my God!
Yeah, this is what you need to improve on. All right, so basically, what happened was our homegirls, Toy and Gia, they went, and Toy had invited me. So they got there. They waited the hour or whatever they needed to for the table. I didn't get there until after they had been there for about a half hour. At the table. When I got there, they each had a fizzy margarita and a Douce glass, a Douce bottle. Yeah. That was how they served the drinks in the Douce bottle of this particular drink. So they had those. They had already put their food order in. I sit down, I scan the menu on my phone, and I decide that I'm going to just try the overpriced ass because the shit was overpriced. I got the fries, which was on their size menu, for $13. $13 for fries. And then I got fried shrimp, which I think was $23. That's all I got. So after about me sitting there for 10 minutes, waitress comes over. She, because you scan it, but then you tell somebody, usually on most scan things, you can just order from the thing, from the phone. But anyway, the waitress came over. She took my order. And then my food came out in about 15 minutes, but Toy and Gia, who had been there at this point for at least an hour and had been waiting on their food didn't come yet. So they were marveling about how fast I got my food. I'll also put in an order for a Jack and Coke. And so long story short, Jack and Coke never came. When my food did come out, I didn't have any utensils. I didn't have any dipping sauce. It was just a can of fries and six fried shrimp on a plate. That was it.
$23?
$23, though?
$23. Six
shrimp?
6 decent size medium-ish jumbo shrimp. Deep fried.
Wait, did he say medium size jumbo?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So they was deep fried. So the fries, they were good, but if you've ever cooked French fries before, you usually know when you cook, when the grease needs to be changed and the fries have a certain taste. So This, they needed to change the grease that my fries were fried in. And then the shrimp were good, but the batter was a bit salty. And everything that they fry apparently is salty, at least it was on this night. So then finally Gia and Toy's food comes, and the orders are all wrong. Toy's lobster was fried and it
I can hear Toy been. Now.
Yep, okay. I sure can.
Listen, that's a whole nother conversation later. Toy is let's just say our beloved friend Toy is very particular when she does her dining experiences. And goddamn it, if it's not up to her standards,
boy,
she is not shy about making it known. We love you, Toy. Toy's lobster was fried and it shouldn't have been. Gia had ordered some Asian flavored something pork chops. Her pork chops were completely fried and they shouldn't have been. The sides were all wrong. And so anyway, I never got the cocktail sauce that I requested. They brought me hot sauce and then I was like, no, this is hot sauce. And then I asked for cocktail sauce and she was like, okay, I'm gonna bring cocktail sauce. I never got the cocktail sauce. I just, in my waiting, every 10 minutes or so, I said, fuck it. And I had one more shrimp with the hot sauce because I got accustomed to it already. I never got my Jack and Coke. And I just wanted to get out of there. So I finished my shrimp and fries. And I tried to leave money and they treated me because my birthday had just passed. So but it wasn't, the service just wasn't, it wasn't good. Because again, the wait for the food and then just asking for having to ask for utensils, having to, I asked for the cocktails thing. It was just, nothing was working efficiently, at least not on this night. I don't know how it is on another night. I went on a Saturday, definitely at, dinner prime time hours, like 8-ish or whatever. Yeah. So it was cracking. When I remember when I walked in, there was a gang of people standing in the little walkway because they were waiting to be seated. So like the seating wait time was like an hour or something. Also, it looked like a lot of the clientele was from the West Side. I don't know if that's right.
Never a good thing. Never good.
And if you're unfamiliar with Chicago, like there's usually a visual difference. Sorry. Yo, a lot of Pelly jackets, a lot of leather. Like one dude had, was it a TV show? He just had some like logo-y rhinestoned out leather outfit situation. So I don't know if that's their normal. So it wasn't good.
Wow.
Yeah. The funny thing is, this particular business that you're referring to, I've seen other people review it, and they didn't have great experiences either.
I read the same thing.
Now, apparently, So that's exactly it. I had seen friends talking about it online. And if it wasn't for Toy and Gia, like, it would have been my idea. Y'all know I don't go out like that. So I was being adventurous and decided to meet them out because they invited me or whatever. But, I had seen other not so great, like you said, reviews and chatter. I haven't seen anything really good now that I think about it.
Yeah.
So they need to take a closer look, guys, if you're listening, take a closer look and figure out what you can do better because the answer should be right in front of you.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely, something that, should be addressed when it's necessary. Obviously, there are a ton of, minority-owned businesses that are amazing. Shout out to my boy Kenny, by the way, from Sage Room and Bureau Bar.
Oh, don't say that.
Hey,
don't say that.
That's my man. That's my man.
I get you, but don't say that.
shout out to Ancient Sweet Cafe, another one of my favorite go-to spots. You know, I can name tons of other ones. Sip and Savor. I just went to this new cafe the other day in Bronzeville, but there's a lot of them who get it and do it right. You know what I'm saying? But you know, definitely step your game up for those who are still, you know, in the, you know, I know the new spot you're talking about, Kitchen and Cocktails, is brand new. So maybe they're just getting they footing and they grounding. But yeah, definitely address those things that, you know, if you're seeing a lot of things, it's not necessarily just people hating. There's something within that's not taking place. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Within that's not taking place. That's a very
diplomatic
way to say get your shit together.
right. But nah, man. You know, it's something, like I said, we talk about a lot, and BBA, to your point about us not, you know, saying a black business, you're absolutely right. But I think the frustration sometimes gets there when we've had one or two multiple experiences within a close proximity. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, man, you know, what, you know, you try to support, but then this, you know what I'm saying? So then that becomes the focus, you know. Not saying it's right, I'm just saying it tends to happen, I think, amongst us. So
gotcha, yeah.
So switching gears real quick, y'all obviously have seen this madness that's going on with this Kyle Rittenhouse case. Everything.
Fuck him and his crocodile tears. I don't want to talk about this shit. Man. Fuck him and his tears, and that motherfucker Sally finna get off because that judge is questionable. All that
very, very questionable.
Dude, I would have had this whole thing. Once then his phone rang and played whatever it said, God Bless America, whatever it is.
Dude. Who was that? The judge.
You didn't see that? The judge's phone rang. It's not God Bless America, but it's one of, it's American. Like, I'm one sorry. Of the Trump theme songs.
It was Proud to Be an American.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so that's the judge's ringtone in the fucking Rittenhouse case.
And that was like one of many things. I saw the thing where he made the joke about the Asians.
Asian supply food. Yeah.
Yeah. Supply chain problem or whatever.
Yes.
And then he was of course the whole video of him reprimanding the prosecution. And yeah, it's not even questionable. This dude is like literally showing us who he is.
Like, I don't even want to, I hate, it's certain things I don't even like joking about. Like, people, I don't even really do like Trump memes or and shit like that. So, certain things I hate joking about. But somebody tweeted, they were like, Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. That motherfucker's finna get off.
Yeah.
And he's going to be back in society like the shit never fucking happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zimmer.
And Zimmerman. And it's like they got people ready for protests because they already know what's about to happen. Yeah.
They have 500 National Guard in Wisconsin. So I hope like it, I don't know. I want them to be wrong that they're gonna need 500 National Guard. But obviously, you know, statements need to be made if that shit goes the way it feels like it will, but
you know what the sad part is, it's not like this kid killed a black person or black people. He killed other white people, but they still linking it in with the whole thing that happened.
But
it happened in the wake of the protest. But it's just about white people and their guns and how they, you know, the justice system still bends to them, even in situations where they're dead ass wrong.
Yeah.
Like, just because, first of all, how the fuck is he underage? He's 17. How the fuck he can't legally buy an AR? So that's the first fucking problem.
Yep.
And why is his mom not on trial?
That's the other fucking thing. So, like, this is just an example. Yes, it happened during the protest of the Jacob Blake shooting. But, as you said, he didn't kill any black men or black people. But, it's just a statement on this fucking country and where we still are with guns and white people and the
you know, systemic racism and how it's showing out in our judicial system.
Yeah. I mean, he drove illegal guns across state lines.
Thank you. That's the part I was waiting for. He crossed state lines with the shit.
Yes.
But here's the bad part. He didn't drive.
His mama drove.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of their asses would be in the fucking jail right now.
Right. Right. And both of them were on camera just doing some horrible acting. I mean, she was crying and then, you know, stopping to look, make sure the jury was paying attention.
Because if the motherfucking tears was real, this nigga wouldn't have been just making appearances at Proud Boy bars, hanging out.
Doing the white power sign.
Being fucking celebrated.
He's just saying free as fuck and stuff like that. Yeah.
Right. Fuck him and those crocodile tears and his mom. Like, if that was the case, we would have known he felt the way before. Fuck him and those tears,
dude. The funny part about it is he faked the cry and looked at the judge. Was like, you buying it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's there's what is it like one black person on the jury? A nun?
I think it's one.
Yeah.
Now, is that the Arbery case?
No, that's the Arbery case. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's
okay. I'm sorry. I thought. For some reason, though, I thought the Rittenhouse didn't, the jury wasn't diverse at all.
I think both of them not diverse, so.
Because it goes to them this week, correct?
I think Monday.
Yeah, I think they're waiting on a verdict now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's going to be, we kind of know what it's going to be.
I should say McMichael, is that the, we shouldn't be calling it the Arbery case. I mean, it's obviously related to him, but them motherfuckers on trial, not him.
Yeah.
Now that his case is fun, it's crazy too. It's because with that one, I think one of the defense was like they don't want them any more black pastors in the.
They're making a thing about Al Sharpton being present,
right? And then I guess the day before Jesse was there, and I'm like, Jesse. Just say what you want to say, bro.
Yeah. Nah, that nigga said it.
Yeah.
No, they like, said say what no, you they really want to say.
Said it.
Yeah. I want no more in the room.
Yeah. That's all it is.
Right.
Far too many niggas in here.
Right.
Niggas in your nigga Bibles.
Meanwhile,
meanwhile, the appeals court is blocking all evidence of Trump's wrongdoing from getting out. So,
yeah, but you know what? I think didn't it come down to a fucking Trump appointed judge?
Yeah, yep. So,
and motherfuckers be acting like the fuck that shit don't matter,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so yeah, the Trump appointed judge has decided that the documents, where he covered up. Was it the January 6th shit or the Corona shit?
I think it was both.
There's two different stories about him trying to cover up his administration, covering up documents in relation to both what they knew before we knew shit. But a fucking Trump appointing judge has decided that those documents should not be made public. Yeah. Big fucking surprise.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, man. And then you got dumbass Cruz down there taking shots at Big Bird.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's, and I did not think this year was going to top last year, but it did.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And we're about to come up on 2022. So, Tej, I know you're happy the Britney Spears conservatorship is finally ended.
I mean, yes. Listen, that was the right thing to do for it to end. And I'm happy for Britney that she has her freedom.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I guess that the conservatorship was split into two parts. So there's the conservatorship of the Spears estate, which controlled all her money and financial decisions. And then the conservatorship of her being herself, which was basically in charge of her well-being and health. And
I've never had an issue with Britney, but I don't think, and like, I've just, she got a couple of joints that I can fuck with, but like, I'm super like, I don't feel super passionate or whatever. But what I've recently discovered is Black people really fucking love Britney Spears.
Really?
A poll, it was kind of an informal poll put together on Twitter, and they were like, is Britney among like the white people that we really fuck with, like a Tina Marie and a Betty White and a Dolly Parton?
Like, really?
Is a Britney among that group? Because it apparently, I think it looks like it. Wow. And I didn't realize it.
I can definitely say for myself, she's not in that group, but
yeah, I didn't even know Dolly Parton was in that group.
Dolly's in that group. Dolly's definitely in that group.
Dolly been real, like she been riding.
Yeah, for real.
I ain't never seen Britney like that, bro. I'm sorry.
Apparently, a lot of people do. That was a surprise to me.
I'm interested to know, what are your Britney joints, Teach?
Yeah.
Toxic, you know.
No.
Slave.
Yeah. and immediately off.
That's a Pharrell beat, right?
And Hit Me Baby One More Time. Like,
Wow.
So do you perform Hit Me Baby One More Time at home in the mirror?
No. I definitely don't perform it. I don't have a routine or nothing that I do to it. But yes, I will be sit here chilling and it'll just hit me like, oh baby.
It'll hit you one more time.
What are y'all niggas making? What are y'all whatever. Anyway, I'll sing that shit out loud sometimes randomly, but I'm not.
So you just sit in your house and go, oh baby, baby, randomly. In Britney's voice, not in freaking Ashanti's, oh baby, but you would hit the Britney.
If I'm singing Ashanti, nigga, I'm gonna do Ashanti. If I'm singing Britney, I'm singing Britney, bitch.
I mean, she's had some cool videos, I guess. But other than that, I can't really say I like rock out to some Britney songs.
Yeah, no. I mean, she on my white people playlist, but.
The closest one I probably will kind of tap my foot to is Toxic.
You just tap your foot to Toxic.
Yeah, just a little bit. But
hyper masculinity ass. You can fucking rock the Toxic, nigga.
Listen,
tap your foot a little bit.
No. I got plenty of songs that I should not admit that I like. It's definitely
the phrase "and tap your foot" is wild, Dave.
Well, I'm just saying I'm just not a Britney, song person. But no, there's totally some like quote unquote women songs that I like that, you know, probably wouldn't be considered masculine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Like I said, with me, it's Slave. Slave for you is my joint, and it's a Pharrell joint. So that's the only reason I like that song. Other than that, nothing else from Britney for me.
Haven't been able to get past is that I definitely don't think she can sing, so there's that.
Pretty
big one there.
She definitely is not. Nobody's holding up her vocals. She's not definitely not Christina. She's fucking with Christina or Kelly on the vocals.
Yeah, but I guess from an entertainer standpoint, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
She's definitely an entertainer. Yeah,
yeah. But what I mean, y'all got some songs that you would, some other songs y'all would be afraid to tell people. Just
I am not afraid of to admit it to any songs that I fuck with, but I definitely have songs that I'm sure a lot of dudes wouldn't necessarily.
I will share one of mine. One of my guilty pleasure songs that is definitely a woman song is "Freak of Dress" by Beyonce. Love that record.
I don't even know that record.
I freaking love it.
I don't know that record.
It's a Swiss Beats record, and the beat is crazy, but I like the song.
Yeah.
I don't know B's category. I mean,
catalog
outside of the radio video singles much.
I also like "Girl" by Destiny's Child. That's a women record.
I love that one. When they get to the part, I've been knowing you since you were 10. You don't do the fucking the shitting from the video. You don't count them off on your fingers?
Wait, I'm trying to remember. What was the scene in the video?
Remember when they were sitting at the table?
Yeah.
And she was like, I've been knowing you since I... She said since I was 10, she counted off with your 10 fingers.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that shit for real? Like,
nah, I don't do that.
Wow.
That's my shit.
The video, though. I did like that video.
For real. Like, nigga, Jennifer Love Hewitt, bare naked. What y'all know about that?
Wow. First of all, I forgot Jennifer Love Hewitt had a record.
Yes.
Yeah.
Y'all not fucking with me on these songs that men probably ain't supposed to like. I can guarantee you.
Come on, y'all. B.A., Drew, I know y'all got one, man. Come on.
I'm not ashamed of anything that I listen to. So
okay.
Right.
Okay.
I got nothing for you here.
Yeah. I listen to everything. Well,
I feel like a lot of people would still be surprised at how much you, I don't know if you still love it, but like Crush by Jhené was like the first.
That's still one of my favorite. Huh? That's still one of my favorite 90s R&B songs.
That's the first R&B record. If not my favorite 90s R&B song. That I remember you really being taken aback by.
But I feel like a guy is just not supposed to like Freakum Dress. Like that's not, you know, that's.
My Beyonce song is Get Me Bodied.
Okay, all right. So that could sort of be in that category. Yeah.
But that's at least the I don't know what Freakum Dress sounds like, but the Get Me Bodied beat is hard. So like you can
Freakum Dress is close.
You can get away with dancing.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's got like it's almost got like them I want to call them Swiss Beats horns, but it's got these horns that
What album was that on?
It was on the birthday album.
B-Day. It might be on B-Day. Yeah, I think so.
Did she have a video for it?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, because that was like
maybe I know it and I just don't. Maybe I know it and don't remember it. I don't remember was that one. I know Get Me Bodied.
Wasn't that the album that she put out a video for every song?
No, I know it was on. I think it might have been on the same album, actually.
Okay, yeah, I know it was definitely on the same album as "Get Me Bodied," and because she did a bonus version of the album and had this one record on there I liked that it was called "Worldwide Woman." That was pretty decent.
I mean, Keisha Cole and "Heaven Sent" is my joint.
My Keisha Cole joint is I think it's called "This Is Us."
Oh, really?
I don't remember that one.
Mine is "Brand New," which the album was named after the same song.
Oh Lord!
Uh oh.
That's just crazy.
You said what?
That was nothing after that. There was no that wasn't a setup for a punchline. Like, no.
I felt it was coming. So listen.
Yeah, Keisha, I just looked it up. I had it right. It's called "This Is Us."
This is okay. I'm gonna have to go listen. Which album was that on?
A Different Me.
Okay. I'm gonna definitely go check that out. Man, did y'all see the story recently with Terrence J almost getting involved in he was involved in an attempted home invasion / robbery?
Yeah, Dave, because you sent it to us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
That nigga needs to stay home.
You didn't have to tell people that, but okay. but yeah, so
he's asking like he didn't send us the shit in the church.
But no, I was, you know, just tripping on that, man.
I didn't read the story. What happened? So I know he narrowly avoided attempted robbery.
Yeah, he got shot at. I think it was one of his boys. Somebody was in the car with him. They were pulling up to his house at like 3 a.m. I think he lives in the Sherman Oaks area of California. And some dudes was there waiting on him, and they tried to block his car in. And he said he did some maneuver to like pull away from him. And as he was pulling off, they shot at him and they chased him. And he was able to flag down a police officer that he saw, and the dudes took off. But obviously it was like very shaken up or whatever, but it made me think. And I was like recently looking, follow him on Instagram, And I saw where he had posted this video, like these pictures. He was at like a private airport, and you know, he's getting off the luxury private jet and mm-hmm. getting into, he had it was like these lines of luxury cars and all of that. And I literally, like a couple of days before this happened, the thought just kind of crossed my mind about not so much him, but just, you know, celebrities and people that do flash that type of stuff on social media. Just, you know, who all is watching that and seeing that and want to take that. And yeah, I know there's been a big uptick of that in Hollywood, where, you know, a lot of these celebrities have been targeted more in the past years than ever. And it used to be a certain, you know, veil of protection around them, because a lot of them live in gated communities. I don't know if Terrence does, but a lot of them live in, you know, gated communities. And there was just that that example I think I mentioned on a few shows back where I forget which NBA player it was, but they had somebody pulled up in their driveway and tried to rob them while they was talking to a friend of theirs outside. And so yeah, it just made me think about, you know, what you post online when it comes to that. You know, everybody's got watching you and got eyes on you, and you become a target, you know.
One thing I know about dudes named Terrence, man, don't survive. Always survive.
Oh, well that's a good thing. That's definitely a good thing.
This dude almost got robbed. He crashed his car on some creep shit. So
So he fits the bill.
Yeah. We don't even die.
Bad. Right.
We don't.
And then you got to remember this too.
They call him Terry. Yeah, we don't die.
Well, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you remember, like, was it years ago? That's what happened to a football player from Washington, Sean Taylor. He was at the crib, and you know, he protected his family, and he got shot. Like, it was like a random bullet just hit him, and I think he got shot, and he bled out pretty much.
Yeah,
he got shot in the leg.
I think it
reminds me of Hitman Holler. Just had to go through the same thing with him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
His girl got attacked.
I think a lot of it, to your point, Dave, social media has a big effect on it, on why you're seeing an uprise in these things, because the more people, I feel like celebrities,
they're more
in the past were not, it was a veil of protection. It was a different, but now you're more accessible.
Yeah.
And I think they forget sometimes, and not just celebrities, but people who flashy.
You forget
that everybody, you know, people are watching and they don't have that same level of wealth. They want what you have.
Yeah.
And they will come get it.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And I know,
everything ain't sweet out here. I think people forget that.
That's how Pop Smoke
was
killed, because he posted in his stories in front of the place he was staying, and people were able to put two and two together.
Yeah.
Well, I think he posted like something that had like he accidentally posted his address, I think.
Yeah.
Like, right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was like on a luggage tag or something, and you literally can stop the video and see the address. And
exactly, but it's all the same thing. It was because of posting on social media. Social media has made everybody more connected, and celebrities more accessible, like you said. And so you put two and two together, a little craftiness, Google Maps, with images and shit, yes, you can run into anybody you want.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just because we're all more connected and you know, they're more accessible.
Yeah. And I know Terrence has had, like, house parties, too, at his crib, too, and you got to be careful with that because, you know, even though people might be in the circle or, you know, in that world, you know, they still bring, you know, folks with them, and you don't know who them folks know. And then, you know, next thing you know, you got somebody, oh man, we was kicking it at Terrence's crib. He stay over in such and such area over here. And then, you know, now you didn't tip somebody off and they scoping out his place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
we about to go get that 106 and Park couch, son.
Man, right.
That
right.
reminds me of a Eminem lyric from an Exhibit song. He said, "These kids tell their friends where I stand, and my address ends up on the internet again." Yeah, and I'm a bad.
So then I do an interview with Spin, telling them that if someone comes to my crib, I'm gonna shove a gun in their ribs. Reporters, well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But then the part reporters was like he said. Proportion. Then I'm the bad guy because I don't open the door like, "Oh, hey, hi." You guys right. want autographs, okay, form a straight line. but that's what it speaks to. Like once the you know shit is more accessible because of the internet, and that song is like 15 years old that he said that shit. But everything is more accessible because of the internet. Information gets spread, and like you said, Dave, it could be something as simple as a house party he threw once, and then a friend of a friend is now in a barbershop telling whoever that he stays in Sherman Oaks over off on Oakley, and yeah, so it's just the accessibility factor, and the world's a little bit smaller because of the internet.
Yeah, and it's funny.
And you people do take for granted that they forget. They get to a certain point, and they forget what it was like for people who ain't at that point.
Yep.
And you forget that it's people out there who are hungry and who are really trying. It's wolves out there. Yeah, and they will come get your shit.
Yeah,
and motherfuckers get in their own little world and act like that doesn't exist anymore. It still does.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. It's funny y'all bring up the Eminem song because he had a situation, I think just maybe 2 years ago, where a dude showed up at his crib and tried to scale the wall. And, you know, he had to, I don't know if he shot at the dude, but.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That just happened to him as recently as well. But yeah, it's all just because the shit is accessible. I mean, you know, people gonna floss on social media on the gram because that's what you do.
Yeah.
But you just forget that people are closer than they appear.
Exactly. And speaking of people wanting to take your shit, Jeff Bezos almost got his girl taken. by Leonardo DiCaprio, and you know, just one thing, you know, I've never even met Leonardo DiCaprio, but I know better than to, you know, bring, you know, Jamila around him just because he's Leonardo DiCaprio. You
first
know?
Of all, he's the original Mr. Steal Your Girl,
right? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, just word to the wise, don't bring your girl around Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, I mean, like, ain't that a downgrade technically? Is she the left Jeff?
Well,
ain't that a downgrade? I know Leo's like a millionaire.
Sometimes it ain't about the money, Drew.
Wait, let me ask this. Is this his wife?
No.
This is his girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. So, you know.
But this is the way he got divorced because his wife found out he was cheating.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So she's dumb.
Well, I mean,
because what she needs to do is marry him so she can get half and then leave him for Leo. Like,
didn't his other wife
just leave him? Yeah, he ain't marrying nobody again. What are you talking about?
Nah, he definitely.
The first wife got half. She gonna get like four.
You'd be surprised.
Jeff Bezos.
He's flying into space, and Leonardo DiCaprio about to steal his girl.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, real quick, before we get out of here, I want to talk about Versus.
Of course you do. It was on my list, of course. It was on my list.
We don't have to go long. I just want to know who y'all got. So upcoming Versus matchups include 3-6 Mafia versus Bone Thugs and Harmony, and then Chaka Khan versus Stephanie Mills. Who y'all got?
So here's my thing. I'm definitely more of a 3-6 fan than I am Bone.
Mm-hmm.
However, I feel like from a popularity standpoint, Bone might edge out 3-6 just a little more.
But not popularity, Dave. Hits, joints.
Well, that's what I'm saying. More popular songs. You know what I'm saying? Right. I feel like 3-6 has more underground classics. Or hood classics, where Bone has more mainstream classics. So I feel like they're gonna edge 3-6 out just a little bit on that alone.
All right. Drew, you're out of this, right?
I know Bone is definitely going to have the like the mainstream joint. I mean, I'm not a fan of like a big fan of either one. I like saw some both of them, but I'm not probably going to watch it. There's nothing that's going to be like, ooh, I want to watch this one. I'm more inclined to watch the other one, but I'm going with Bone on that side.
All right, BA, what do you think?
I'm going to cite the A. Bosiaco clause of 2021 and sit this one the fuck out. That's what I'm going to do.
All right. All right, so I initially was thinking that I feel like Bone had, it sounds weird, but I feel like Bone had a shorter run than we really realized.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like 3-6 had a longer and a better run than we realized as well. So initially, I was ready to give it to 3-6. Then somebody brought up a couple of joints on Twitter, and now I'm on the fence, so I really don't know anymore.
First of all, Bone Thugs is about to hit you with like a couple of Mariah joints, and then it's going to be over with.
Yes, that was like I forgot about some of the features outside of their out of their catalog, because they really lost me kind of by The Art of War, which was like their
that was like a double album, right?
Right, but it was like their third official album.
Yeah,
and they had lost me by then because I just remember mostly joints from the first two that I felt like really hit hard, but then I forgot, like he said, the Mariah joints, and just forgot about some of their features that they got. So now I can't even pick anymore.
And they never really had any like solo hit joints, right?
Nope.
I mean, yeah.
Crazy Bone had a solo. Ride
Dirty, you can throw that on there.
Yeah.
What 3-6 Mafia gonna do when you hear Notorious Thugs?
No.
Yeah. You know, he gonna think. Yeah, you might have to take an L on that one. If you 3-6, but when you get into like recent records, though, like what Bone gonna saying? Do with they gonna bands to make a dance?
right.
So I think they got, if in that context, I think they got a longer catalog than most of us remember or give them credit for. So and I can't even call that
man,
one.
Man, when they do Whoop That Trick and Slob on My Knob.
I was just about to ask, does that count? Does Whoop That Trick count?
I don't think Whoop That Trick does. I don't think Slob on My Knob counts.
No?
No, that's Project Pat.
Oh, that's right.
No, that's in the 3-6 family. Who produced it? Did Juicy produce it? Did Paul produce it?
More than likely, yeah. They're going to play it in here and everybody can lose their mind.
But yo, somebody posted like when Bone play get money in a Ziploc plastic bag. What they gonna do?
Man, you think they gonna go there?
Nigga, that shit is a fucking hood classic. Niggas,
I know
that shit.
I know. I'm just wondering if he gonna pull it out the bag.
Pun
intended.
But I honestly doubt it. But I would love it because that shit is a hood classic for real.
Yeah.
I tweeted this. I literally about once, like at least four times a year, I search for that shit on digital streaming platforms, and I can't find it yet. So
yeah,
I just like have to search on YouTube. But no, that shit's a hood classic, and I hope they do include it. They should.
Yeah,
I'll say this if I'm gonna make a choice on this personally, and I'm not looking at a catalog of these two groups, but from a personal level, I spent more time listening to Bone than I ever did to 3-6. Yeah. So if I have to go just from a personal point of view, I would say Bone.
Yeah.
Right. Take a guess because I it wasn't a lot of 3-6 happening in my house.
Is Crunchy Black still alive, right?
I think he's
mean, though. Does it even matter?
Wow.
Jesus.
On that note, so
Coop the Nika gonna be there.
Stephanie Mills.
Coop the Nika coming through.
So listen, all right. So the other big verse battle coming up is Shaka Khan versus Stephanie Mills.
Shaka Khan all day.
Shaka
all day. Shatown.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
I hate to say it because I love Stephanie, but
listen,
it's Shaka, bro.
It's unanimous. I vote Shaka all day. BA, I
posted this in my stories, but I shot the flyer to your mom, and she's rolling with Stephanie, surprisingly. And well, so here's my thing.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, Shaka got Shaka hits, and yeah. then she got Rufus hits.
Yep.
Like, and Stephanie, I love Stephanie. I fuck with Stephanie. I got some Stephanie joints. I just don't think she has the ammo or the catalog to keep up.
Her cheat code is going to be the Wiz, obviously.
Yep.
Maybe. How many rounds can she use stuff from the Wiz?
Right, right.
Yeah. Multiple. Like, here's my thing. Like, to me, Shaka is in my... So you know how, like, the NBA, they do the all-NBA, all-first team, second team, third team?
Yeah.
Shaka's in my first team. Yeah. With Whitney and Aretha and Patty and Gladys and even Natalie.
Yeah.
But Stephanie would be on my third
team. That'd be six.
I'm just
honorable mention.
I wasn't really
six man on the NBA first team.
Bro, I'm just talking about levels, not the exact number of five for each, whatever. Just talking about levels.
Yeah.
Anyway, Stephanie would be on my third.
Yeah.
Like, you got Regina Bell and Mickey Howard. Like, that's like some of my second team people.
Yeah.
Stephanie would definitely be on my third. So I don't even think it's a fair matchup.
Wait,
so.
Stephanie would be on your third team?
Yes, she would be on my third team.
Wow. Okay.
Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that they be taking a little shots at each other, because if you follow Shaka and Stephanie on you know social media platforms, they both have no filter, and they both have a certain level of petty in them. So
I think Shaka's is a little bit stronger though.
Yeah, for real. I would have liked to see Shaka go against Anita personally, but
that would have been a better matchup, I think.
Wait,
yeah.
Just because she's like she's golden on Twitter, I'd have liked to see Shaka versus Dionne Warwick.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Just something like that.
Shout out to Dion on SNL. Did y'all watch that sketch?
I missed it. I missed it. I'm gonna look it up on YouTube.
You gotta watch it, man. She did. She was amazing, man. She's like what, 81 or something like that?
I don't care, but she on Twitter, she's golden.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is golden.
Shout out to Dion.
But yeah, you really gotta use Twitter. I think you would enjoy it if you really used it.
He's on there.
He doesn't use it though.
Yeah, he doesn't use it.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know what the funny thing about that is? He the one who made me sign up for Twitter. We was going out somewhere, him and Ebony and Diamond. Like,
I feel like I remember 30 minutes when he might have tried.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
In like 2011 or some shit.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Not for me. It's just not me.
Well,
I'm good.
Here's who y'all can follow on Twitter. You can follow on the Sirius 33 and the Third podcast.
Yes, sir.
Hell of a transition right there.
You can follow me on Twitter.
At Orange Sirius 33.
You won't see nothing.
But to be fair, I'm on Twitter more than y'all know. You just don't see me there.
Oh, you
don't post.
Yeah.
You
but I will
that's,
take a
that's
look.
Called lurking. That's called lurking. So you lurk.
Call it lurking. He's, I don't give a shit what you call it.
If you were on Twitter, you would know the phrase that's lurking. Yeah.
He's gonna get shadow banned.
Okay. He wouldn't even know.
I just want to thank everybody once again for tuning in, you know, to On the Sirius 33 and the Third podcast. Really appreciate y'all. Keep following us on social media, like I said, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, you know, wherever else we at. And y'all be safe out in these streets. Holidays is coming up.
It's cold. Eggnog season is in effect.
Get vaccinated. Yeah, because cases are definitely on the rise. And
support black businesses.
Support black businesses. Please support black businesses, y'all. All right. And on that note, we out of here. One love, y'all. Peace. I'll tell you no matter.